Some say the rain in Spain falls mainly in the plains, but I say the rain in Spain falls mainly in Portugal. And that's why this week I'm going to talk about some other options of other places to consider around Europe other than Portugal. Roll that intro. Hello there, I'm Rafael Di Furia. Welcome back to another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. This week I wanted to talk about some places that you might want to consider around the European Union. Why? Because there are many people who come to Portugal, move to Portugal, and get very disappointed by what they find here. And also, there are many people, when considering a move to Portugal, that think about other locations as well. Some of the more popular ones that I hear about from people who've actually moved to Portugal are between Spain, Italy, and Portugal. It's either like Spain or Portugal, or Portugal or Italy. One of those two seem to be kind of a common thread amongst a lot of people that I meet. Funny enough, I've lived in Italy, so I can speak a little bit about that. But rather than start off with Spain, let's start off with maybe some of the other places that are maybe slightly more off the beaten path that a lot of people don't necessarily consider when they are looking at these countries. And I'm going to say my first country, and these are going to be in no particular order, but the first one that I'm going to mention might not necessarily be one of the easiest to move to, and there are potentially some downsides that come along with it, but Gibraltar. The reason why I say Gibraltar is because it can have really amazing weather. It's in an amazing part of the world. And the people in Gibraltar are some of the sweetest people that I've ever met in my whole life. Again, like in Portugal, I can say that some of the people that I've met there have been very helpful and warm and welcoming towards outsiders. I remember one time very, very vividly that I was standing in the middle of one of the streets there in the city. It wasn't exactly the high tourist season, but it wasn't the off season either. It was kind of like somewhere in between. And I was standing there. This was in the days when you would stand out with a big, large paper map. And I was looking, okay, how do you get to this place and go around? And then this older gentleman comes up to me and says, hey, are you needing some help to find something? And at first he said it in Spanish, and then he switched to English when he realized that actually back then my Spanish wasn't that great. My Spanish is still not that great, but now I can get by. Then I really couldn't. But then I told him where I was trying to go, and he said, oh, not a problem at all. You know what? I'll walk you there. I was like, what do you mean you walk me there? It's like a 10-minute walk away. He explained to me how to get. He's like, no, it's totally fine. I'll go with you. And both in Gibraltar and out of Gibraltar, I've had the pleasure of meeting a number of Gibraltarians, and they are definitely a fun bunch. And it's really such a unique place because some of us who grew up in the States may be familiar with Spanglish. And they do have Spanglish in Gibraltar that they speak, but it's a bit different. It's a mix between Andalusian and British English. And so you get these kind of funny sentence structures, how they're put together, like kind of informal words might be more in Spanish, but then a little bit more formal will be in English, and kind of mixing and floating between the two languages. As somebody who did grow up in areas where they did speak Spanglish, it was really cool to be able to hear a completely different form of not the language, but this combination of languages coming together in a very unique and very different way. You feel like you're in Spain, but at the same time, you know you're very much in Great Britain. A little bit of Britain in the sun. I will not say that it is one of the lowest cost areas where you can move to. And again, moving there to get a visa, it's not necessarily the easiest. But if you are looking for a smaller city that's on the ocean, it's definitely a place that's worthwhile considering, especially if you are an English speaker. You might need a little bit of Spanish there, but it's not going to be completely mandatory that you're fluent in the language. I would say that's going to be one of the few countries that you can probably move to and really get away with just speaking English there. And yes, even though they do speak both there. And before I get on to Spain and Italy, another place that I do want to quickly talk about is Croatia. If we're talking about places that you're thinking about Portugal, and you're thinking about some of the lower cost aspects that have to do with why people are interested in the country that maybe aren't quite existing anymore, although we're starting to see prices drop off, Croatia might be one of those places where you can get some of those similar aspects of life, at least smaller towns, a little bit slower pace, living life by the sea, although living on the sea versus like the whole ocean, bit of a difference there. And then of course, seafood, kind of another thing shared between the two countries. But yeah, it was a place that I visited that I can say that I really had a great time in the very short amount of time down in Dubrovnik when I was there years ago. And of course, there's some interesting history, somewhat recent history as well, that's maybe not some of the brightest, but people from there I found also to be quite friendly and quite helpful. I don't know how it is now, but when I was there, it was a location that was maybe a little bit less English-speaking friendly. Not that you absolutely couldn't, but it wasn't quite the place where you go specifically if you are wanting to live and only speak English. If you're going to a place like Croatia, of course, picking up some of the language will be necessary. It's an interesting language, and you can hear some kind of the cross between some of the Eastern languages and maybe Latin and even a little bit of Italian. And you can also see that when it comes to the cuisine, the people and the culture, the people and culture, I guess you could say the same thing there. But this would be another country that I personally would take a look at if I were looking for an alternative to Portugal. Of course, another low-cost alternative, which maybe doesn't have so much by the sea, but still does have beaches, would be Romania. And I realize that might not be the one of the top tourist locations. However, when we're talking about cost of living, I mean, even living in Bucharest, we're talking about cost of living that makes Portugal sometimes seem a little bit expensive. I mean, okay, there are parts of Portugal that have become very expensive now. So I guess that might not be such a grand feat to attempt to accomplish, but it will be a country that is going to be maybe a little bit more for somebody who's a little bit of a more experienced expat and kind of has a little bit more of an inkling of what life in another can be like. And just a personal opinion here, it might not necessarily be the best place for a first-time expat who's never lived abroad before, but it's not to say that you shouldn't move there if it's your first place that you're thinking about moving to and you've never lived abroad before. There could be some really wonderful aspects of life that you might be able to enjoy there, and there are going to be also some country life aspects of living that you could really get into. Or you could be in the middle of a European city and have access to kind of bigger city amenities. It's still not going to be maybe the same as some of the Central European nations, but I would say, especially if you are looking at Portugal based on cost of living, it's going to be a country that could offer a much better cost of living than Portugal might be able to, at least at this point in time. Another country that might be worth considering for those who are thinking about life at sea and life just enjoying the beautiful Mediterranean could be Malta. And I'm going to lump in Cyprus here a little bit because there are some aspects of both that are, of course, very completely different from one another, but these are going to be places where not necessarily the cost of living is going to be so low or so much lower, maybe lower in Cyprus, depending on where you are, rather than Malta. But these are going to be some places where you might be able to get out and have some more fun in the sun and some more beach time, getting out on the water into the Mediterranean. Getting out onto the Atlantic, I would say, is more of a thing, at least my personal opinion here, a little bit more attractive in southern Portugal, kind of once you like go quite a bit further inland from Sagres, the bottom corner of Portugal that goes out into the ocean. Once you get inland a little bit, the water becomes a bit calmer. So if you are looking to get into some of those water sports, like with a boat, then that could be maybe an interesting place to look if you're into that. For surfing, then the West Coast is definitely the place to be. Some of the biggest waves, most dangerous waves in the world, can be found in this part of the world. And even for some people who are just getting started, maybe in a place like Matosinhos, just outside of Porto, could be worthwhile looking at as well if you're looking for a different type of outdoor activity in the sun. Because even though you can find wonderful things in many other countries, there are many wonderful things that you can find in this small country of Portugal, which, okay, we'll say is bigger than some other countries, but to keep things moving in a very different direction, for those who might be interested in more the northern part of Portugal, where things can be a bit more green, where you have more hiking and fields and mountains and more kind of going on, not necessarily by the sea, even though there's some stuff going on, could be Ireland. I know this is going to be not necessarily some people's first thought when they're thinking of alternative locations, especially when you're looking at Portugal, and especially for one of the biggest reasons why people have looked at the country, and that's the cost of living. And Ireland definitely is not one of the least expensive places to consider. It definitely can be quite expensive to consider anything going on there, whether it's from just a pack of cigarettes to a beer to a burger to a sandwich to actually paying for your rent. The cost of living there is not necessarily considered to be one of the lowest in Europe. But if you are looking for maybe a quieter lifestyle out in the country, this could be a country very worthwhile considering. The greenery, the green pastures, and I mean, when we're talking about the greenery, I mean, also we can talk about the wildlife there. And okay, maybe not so wild, but domesticated wildlife. If you are a meat eater, you're going to have some of the best beef in the world in Ireland. And I'm saying that as somebody who is a very big fan of Argentinian and Brazilian beef, but there's just something very special about the way that Irish beef is done, and the butter from that part of the world is very, very special as well. And yes, of course, there's a lot more to life than just beef and butter. But of course, when thinking about places to live, you want to take the food into consideration, but it's more than just the food as well. And also for those who are thinking about where they can make a living, Ireland might be one of those places that might offer more opportunities than some other countries might be able to offer those who are looking for work. I mean, even if you're not necessarily just looking for work, but you're wanting to build a business, there are a lot of companies in Europe that decide to at least base themselves in the EU part of Ireland, not the Great Britain part of Ireland. We'll see what's going to happen, because there's talks about whether it's in or out or this or that or the other, if there's going to be things coming back together or not. But for the time being, I would say it's definitely quite interesting. And even if it does leave Europe, or if it stays in Europe regardless, it would be a place that I might personally look if I were looking at different locations around Europe. This next one I'm going to only briefly talk about because I've mentioned it a couple of times in previous episodes, and that's Hungary. You have a lot of history, culture, and of course, food. Of course, for those of you who've been watching or listening to Not Your Average Globetrotter for a while, this shouldn't be any kind of surprise that food is a top priority and will be often mentioned in these episodes. And of course, it's going to be another country with a lot of greenery. I mean, even if we're talking about as well, agriculture, it's a huge wheat producer. And so these are things that are worthwhile taking a look at. Of course, it wouldn't be perfect for everybody, but there are going to be those who it could be very well suited to, and especially a place like Budapest has a lot to offer. I'm not going to say again that it's one of the places that offers the best opportunities for those who are looking for work. And also on top, I'm not going to say that it's one of the lowest cost areas as well. It's going to be a little bit up there in comparison to some of the other locations that I've mentioned, but it's not going to be at the top of the list of most expensive on this list. And again, if I were looking at locations around Europe that might be of interest, then this might be another place that I might put on my list. Not 100%, but definitely has something interesting about it. Another quick little bonus one that I'm just going to stick right in here will be Poland, and it'll be for similar reasons as to Hungary, that there's going to be a lot of green land there, and you're going to be able to live in the city or live out in the country. But also on top, if you are in the tech industry, it is going to be an interesting place to take a look at just with what's happening there. There's some interesting growth happening, at least in my personal opinion. When we're talking about Portugal, of course, like I mentioned early on in the episode, we have to compare with Spain and Italy. But when it comes to Italy and Portugal, comparing these two countries and talking about Italy, I'm not going to go into it so much in this episode, just because I have done a number of episodes on comparing these two, because Italy was the last country I lived in, and Portugal is where I live now. And so if you are interested in that topic, and you're here on YouTube, you can definitely go and check out those episodes, or if you're listening to the audio-only podcast, and maybe Rumble. I think this is available now on Rumble. There was a little hiccup when setting up that platform, but whatever. Anyway, Not Your Average Globetrotter is on Rumble now too, by the way. And no, it's not an endorsement of anything political or this or that. It's just, it's another platform. So why not? But to get back to Spain, where we started out this episode, it is an interesting country worth considering because it can be very warm and sunny around the country. I was joking before when I said about the rain in Spain falling mainly in Portugal. Portugal, the north of Portugal, can get a lot of rain. But also when we're talking about the little chunk, or quite big chunk, of Spain that's right over Portugal, just to the north in Galicia, we are talking about another area that from a weather perspective can be a bit similar. It's not necessarily the same culturally. However, linguistically, there is a very interesting connection. They do speak Spanish there, but there are a lot of people who also speak Galego, Galician, or gallego. And if you are a Portuguese speaker or even minimally speak some Portuguese, I was actually quite fascinating to go there because you see the signs that will say rua instead of calle or praça instead of plaza. There are those little things that just kind of pop up when you're there. Seafood, also definitely, definitely, definitely worthwhile checking out while you're there. Of course, we got to talk about the food. And this is definitely one location where it is very, very worthwhile. And of course, because Spain is a much larger country than Portugal, you're going to have a lot offered. You'll also have a lot, like, say, in the south coast, like right next to Gibraltar. I mean, well, okay, not next to, surrounding Gibraltar. You're going to have some really interesting locations like Marbella, Malaga, and all the other places going up the coastline and even a little bit inland as well. There are going to be these places where you'll find that the cost of living can be really interesting for those who are looking for a lower cost of life. I mean, I remember even had a conversation with someone in Italy who was visiting from Spain, originally from the US, and he said he was actually very surprised by how expensive that Italy could be in comparison to where he was living in Spain. And I was actually quite surprised to hear that comparison. I knew that Spain, in many aspects, was very fairly priced for many things. But of course, it's going to depend on where you are, because you could be right in the center of Madrid or in one of the fanciest neighborhoods in the capital and be paying an arm and a leg every month for your rent. But there are going to be a lot of options, because even say if you wanted to be in the Madrid area, say you go 20 minutes any direction and you're going to find a town or village or a smaller city that will still have access by car and or by train or bus to get into the city. So that's another thing that's worth considering. And I'm not going to say it's going to be one of the places where you'll necessarily have so many options for people who are looking for work and opportunities to further their careers, but I'm not going to say you're not going to find it there. I mean, Madrid is a massive, massive city. And even if you don't want to be in the city and you want to get quite a bit out, I mean, there's a place called El Escorial, which is maybe a bit more of a tourist location, but there are people who do live there, of course, and it's up right on a mountain, and you just have this gorgeous view over the valley towards Madrid. And I will say that is a place that I have considered living in the past. It's a bit too quiet for me there, and it just realistically wouldn't work. And not that I'm saying don't get the idea that I'm moving. I'm not planning on moving anytime soon. I'm just wanting to talk about other locations, because I know a lot of people are getting frustrated with looking for apartments in Portugal and trying to find what they've been promised in so many online articles and videos that are just so far out of date now. So that's why I'm making this episode, is to kind of try and point people in other directions. The biggest caveat that I will say that applies to Spain as well as Italy, taxes. Even in Portugal, you do have to take taxes into consideration. But in Portugal, there are some interesting options like NHR, although NHR is not right for everybody. But when it comes to taxes in both countries, they can get quite high. And that would probably be one of the biggest reasons why I might not necessarily be able to consider Spain. And one of the reasons that might be difficult for me to be able to recommend Italy from that perspective. Italy has many other wonderful things. And when we're talking about the lifestyle, both countries have, even Portugal, of course, has many wonderful things to offer. Food, culture, everything. History. It's really quite interesting to go between these countries. The languages are quite different. There are some similarities and threads that tie them together. And of course, Spain offers other locations like Catalonia, where you have Barcelona and that very unique part of the country, as well as Basque country, País de Vasco, and Ibiza. I mean, we're talking about some really world-renowned locations. So am I saying that you shouldn't consider any of these countries, or that you should consider any of these countries? Maybe. You have to do your own research. So this is where I'm going to end off this episode and say thank you for joining me for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, and especially a thank you to those of you who helped to make these episodes possible through Patreon, the one-time support through the thanks button here on YouTube, as well as through rafaeldifuria.com/support. Thank you all so very much for helping to make this project possible and continue to be possible. Of course, I'm Rafael Di Furia. Stay safe and healthy out there. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, and I'll see you all next time. Later.